Welcome to the Ken August Show. We are discussing some of today's biggest topics. I am either your host, Ken August, or this show is poorly named. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. You can catch us every day, 12 to 3 Eastern Time or 9 a.m. to noon at our home in downtown Los Angeles. We are coming to you live from Skid Row Studios, Real Radio on the Internet. And you can catch us on our rebroadcast, 10 o'clock Eastern every Sunday night on Extreme XM Channel 165. Coming up later in the show, we'll talk about the President's State of the Union address. President Obama laid out some things that he'd like to tackle in his second term. The Republicans, in their response, explained why the president is a socialist dictator. Plus, the Pope announced that he is resigning at the end of the month. I guess God accepted his letter of resignation. He is the first pope to voluntarily step down in almost 600 years. Is he resigning to avoid testifying about Benghazi? Wait, I think I'm getting my scandals confused. But I do think he may be resigning one slow old man step in front of the law. We'll talk about that. But first, we're going to talk about the crazy movie-like manhunt that just came to a fiery end in Big Bear, California. California? There's no R on the end of that. I'll ask whether fugitive ex-cop Christopher Dorner had accomplished his mission before he died in a shootout with police. If you're like me, by the way, and you love a good story, but you hate reading, then audiblebooks.com, audibletrial.com/Skid Row Studios, over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or whatever you crazy kids use these days. I could have used this in high school. You ever listen to an audiobook?
The only audiobook I ever listened to was Jay Leno's Leading With My Chin.
is that true, or is that a good crack at Jay Leno?
No, that's the name of the book, and I listened to it on a road trip once.
Did he read it? Was it actually him reading it?
He read it the whole way through. That was a Jewish woman. I don't know what that was.
The Jewish woman doing an impression of Jay Leno?
It's fantastic.
That is very nice. Rich Sladen has joined me today. How are you, buddy?
Very, very well. Hungover, but I'm going to pull through.
I appreciate you making the effort. Please throw up to your right if you have to, if you're not going to make it. So if you want to download anything, whether it's Jay Leno reading it or not, download any free audiobook today. Go to audibletrial.com/Skid Row Studios.
FCC.
Tune into The Love Bite, where all your kinky desires come true, Sundays 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time at skidrowstudios.com.
Welcome to Bad Advice, where the advice is free and worth every penny.
My wife and I attempted to have a frank discussion about sex with our teenage daughter. She said she and all her friends only had oral sex. She's only 16.
I actually saw an article. Teenagers, this is true. Teenagers are having less oral sex, less oral than they used to, but still at a high number, which to me is just proof that the kids today are getting lazier, but still eat too much.
I am incapable of building anything I buy from IKEA. I read the instructions and it just doesn't seem to help. Am I retarded or do other people have these problems?
No, you're Jewish.
My people, we build things all the time.
What is your people? What are you?
Yeah,
what
Mexican, is... Hispanic.
I was like, gay people don't build things. I've been told by my parents that I was a surprise. They said the word unpleasant.
I've tasted breast milk before.
Oh, really? Tell me more about that.
It was delicious.
Yes, I have tasted my sperm. Everyone tastes their own sperm.
And what does it taste like to you?
You know what? I wasn't that like fond of it.
Are you sure though, honey?
Let me ask you something, and then you can be honest with us. If we were making out, okay, wouldn't you rather have me hold your head firmly and pull, just not hard, too hard, but a little bit? Wouldn't you prefer that than just a soft little kiss? Yes.
It depends, though.
It depends. Can it be anyone but you doing it? It's an interesting place to draw the line.
I like that you're choosing women based on the men they're dating.
Well, it's going to affect the taste.
Oh.
She says, other women wonder how to have an orgasm. I wonder how to stop mine.
Oh.
I hate to brag, but I dated a woman, and honestly, I gave this woman like 30-plus orgasms.
I hate to brag, but I'm the best.
Yeah, I hate to brag, but I'm going to make up a horseshit story.
Seriously.
It's not a story.
I believe.
But I have advice for her. Right. I think she should just start dating Vic, and then those will dry up. I'm sorry. I love you, Vic.
Man, she called you medicine.
Bad advice. Come get some.
It's like a fucking hot box.
I can barely see my own face.
I can barely see your face.
That's because we are in the hot box, actually. And we're going to be in the hot box every Tuesday from 9 p.m. Pacific time to 10 p.m. Pacific time.
At www.skidrowstudios.com.
Yeah.
Please come get high with us.
Why, Mr. Beer? It's the world's number one home microbrewery, that's why. With over a million kits installed, their competition doesn't even come close. And they back up their product with an unconditional guarantee and supply their customers additional mixes and accessories so they can use their kit over and over again, which is when I like to drink. So if you're like me and need a drink every now and again to take the edge off, go to MrBeer.com and get your own home microbrewery.
Please join me, Wime Russell, here live at SkidRowStudios.com for the Devils in the Details radio show Fridays from 2 to 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We cover everything from conspiracy theories to the truth movement. Please join us.
Listening to Skid Row Studios.
You're 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 listening to Skid Row Studios.
Skid Row Studios.
You're listening to Skid Row Studios.
I'm not doing it with you.
Please do it with me.
Fuck that.
Can you please have sex with me?
At Skid Row Studios?
At Skid Row Studios.
Maybe. Okay.
Vic Cohen, host of Vic Cohen's It's a Fair Question.
That was creepy.
Catch my show every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Pacific time, where amazing guests face my relentless probing questions.
Am I keeping you? Are you like in the middle?
I'll be gentle.
No, I won't.
That's right. Someone is going to get probed, and I will be doing the probing. That's every Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Can I count on you? Are you going to be there? Yeah? Is this voice turning you on? Is it sexy to you? Do you like it?
Is it too dirty?
It's a fair question. It's a fair question.
Was that creepy?
Welcome back to the Ken August Show live at Skid Row Studios.
Real radio on the internet.
That is fantastic. We're going to start off. We're going to talk about the crazy manhunt that was going on. It just ended. Let's start off by listening to this from ABC News.
The end of 10 days of terror, and police believe a killer once on the loose is now dead. The charred foundation, all that's left of a cabin in the woods, set ablaze. And police believe that Christopher Dorner was inside.
I am standing at the one-time police command post, the heart of that manhunt for Christopher Dorner. And right over my shoulder, those houses right there, we now know that's where Dorner was holed up just as of yesterday. Neighbors telling us he very well may have been hiding in plain sight.
So he is dead. They took him a while to identify, but they knew. They said he looked like a melted LL Cool J, a melt Cool J right off the bat. So he is dead, although conspiracy theorists right off the bat wanted to point to they couldn't identify the body, but his license somehow was readable right next to him.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because, you know, plastic doesn't melt.
No. Apparently, it has a higher melting point than melting temperature than, say, an ex-cop.
Oh, yeah.
So that's nice. But he is dead. That was one of the crazier stories that we've had in the news. I mean, when you start off the week with that story over, the Pope just resigned suddenly, that's, you know, it's a big story.
Yeah, the Pope got bumped.
The Pope got bumped is right. There's a handful of different angles I want to touch on this story with. First of which is, why did a guy who was going on a killing spree get so much sympathy from people? There were people, I don't want to say rooting for him.
They were rooting for him.
They were rooting for him, but most people that were rooting for him are ignoring who he's killed. They seem to be rooting for him to still get whatever his message is out. You know, I
think some of them are for the message. Some of them were rooting for him to win. Like, this is
how would he win? Is he going to wipe out the whole? What is this? Is this Rambo? Is this the first Rambo movie? Is he?
Let's set the table first with, we all agree that shooting people dead is a bad thing. Let's talk about the emotions that everyone was getting into. People people have a natural inclination or disinclination towards authority. And in particular, the LAPD happens to have one of the most natural disinclinations towards it. I don't even know if I'm using that word correctly.
You're using it fine.
Oh, fantastic. But the LAPD has a lot of stored up ill will just for being an authority figure and also for, you know, hitting people here and there. And then you start putting the story together. There are some people, I am not one of them, who if the entire Los Angeles police force was shot, they would celebrate. There are people who hold that opinion for whatever number of reasons they might. And so I think this was just, some people were going, I like the story. Some people are just stupid going, yeah, it's like TV. And some people wanted him to kill cops.
Well, yeah, I think the last part is, I'm hoping, and I'm not saying that they don't exist. They certainly do exist. But I'm hoping the last part that just want people to die is a small, or cops to die is a small percentage.
I think you underestimate the percentage of people who are bloodthirsty in the human population.
Bloodthirsty and people that, you know, of minorities who have a good reason through old stories and reputation to be very distrustful of the LAPD. But I'm just saying it would be wrong, I mean, extremely wrong to try to classify all cops as they're bad cops due to a handful of bad cops.
Absolutely.
But he did have over eight, well, I don't say he. There was a Facebook page called We Are All Chris Dorner, over 18,000 followers.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be a reason for that. The LAPD already had a horrible reputation, obviously. And this was part of what I think got him. You said part of the people that you think were supporting him are people that, oh, this is great TV. And I think there is an element of people, I don't want to say confusing real life with entertainment, but there is that element of people immediately started talking like, oh, is he going to be some kind of Rambo? Is he just leading the cops into some sort of trap when they go up to Big Bear? And there is that element. You want to see that one guy, you wanted to see the story continue without innocent people dying. And the thing is I think he has more than 18,000 followers on that page in Facebook if he didn't kill the daughter of a cop to start the whole story.
I think you're absolutely right. If it had just been police officers, I think this would have even seen a worse reaction in terms of the type of people coming behind him.
Yeah, I know. I tend to agree with you. I mean, I think it's people lose sight of the fact that innocent people were dying and they picked up on his reasoning for what, and in his manifesto, for a man who obviously was not thinking, there's definitely a break in reality with this guy's reasoning. I mean, he laid out, he had a 20-page manifesto, which when somebody writes a manifesto, and we've said this before, people are dying. Nobody ever writes a manifesto with a fucking happy ending. That doesn't happen. So,
I wrote a manifesto for baking cakes.
Exactly. Does not have, everybody dies in that cake story. But here's the thing, is this guy writes 20 pages, and he specifically laid out a case as to how he was wrongfully terminated. Now, I was not there. I can't say that he's telling the truth. But with the reputation the police have, that part right off the bat was easy to believe.
I think people disassociated too. I think that's a big thing that people don't talk about, is everyone didn't associate what was happening with any actual death.
That's the thing, is I think they focused on this guy feels like he's wrong. You hear something horrible going on, or there's a murderer going around, and then you hear, well, he's only going after specific people. And here's why he's going after specific people. Well, then everybody gets sucked into, well, what could this crazy man's reasoning be? And you hear the reasoning and it falls into a stereotype you already believed or have heard about the reputation of the LAPD. And now you go, oh, this guy may have a case.
I think the reasoning thing is an important element you bring up. Because when you look at Aurora, you look at Sandy Hook, there was no reason there. That senselessness, the senselessness of it made it more frightening. But now that this is focused, there's a purpose behind it, that makes it all the more intriguing. Also, I think people had the ability to understand, wait, maybe not agree, be like, okay, you probably shouldn't kill people. But since there was a reasoning behind it, people could grasp onto it rather than a shooter who's just like, I'm going to kill people for no apparent reason.
No, I agree. And there's also probably an element of, well, I feel safe because he's not coming after me.
Oh, yeah.
So there's that. You lose that public fear of, oh shit, anybody, like when the sniper was loose, you know, a few years back when the snipers were loose going around, what was it, Salvo, whatever that guy's name was, and they were killing people on the East Coast. There was a fear for people to go out of their house. Here, you didn't have that fear because he wasn't coming after you, and he laid it out. And I think you're right with the reasoning. People are able to disconnect the whole element of what is this guy doing with what is his reason? And when you have people like Adam Lanza, you go, well, there doesn't seem to be a reason. Now you're just dealing with how do you deal with crazy people before they get a gun? Instead, now you're dealing with what is his reason? And you can focus on, well, maybe he has a point. However, once you say maybe he has a point, you're obviously disassociating yourself with his logic was I now need to kill anybody connected to the people I feel wronged me.
That's really, I mean, the hard part too is his reason. We keep going back to the reason. His reason was one that people could get behind to a certain extent. I think that created a lot of that public support, if you want to call it that, was his reason of their cops are beating people and there's racism and things like that. They're all things where someone inside might go, you know, I really wish I could kill somebody for saying blank. And then they logically go, you know, I probably shouldn't kill that guy.
Well, I don't think logic played, you know, logic with this guy didn't play a whole lot.
He lost the logic right at the end. He went off, you know, the wheels came off the truck.
Well, that's the thing is when you're writing a 20-page manifesto and you clearly lay out why you feel you're wronged and why you are declaring war against a certain group of people. And now you turn around and you go, therefore, I have logically concluded that the only way for me to get my name back is by killing people. So if this guy is correct, if he is successful, what he will do or what he ended up doing was changing his name possibly from a man or his reputation from a man who makes false statements to a mass murderer.
Yeah, I mean, what qualifies as mass? What he got four? Was that his total?
Four is enough. Four is enough.
That's mass?
Yeah.
I don't know. I should know the definition now, what the mass murderer is.
Here's the thing is, if you kill more than one person and it's not just one event where you accidentally, you know, now it's not a car accident. Yeah, if you're specifically targeting people, now I don't know. There may be a legal actual, you know, definition of mass murder. But when you're picking people off and you've hit more than one.
That's then, mass.
Yeah, I'm going with mass.
I think that if his reasons, in that manifesto again, his manifesto gave reasons that people could buy into. I think if his reasons were, well, I don't like that they all wear the same color blue, that bothers me. And a lot of them, they took all the peanut butter from the mess. And I didn't like, if those were his reasons, people would have been like, this guy is nuts. Yeah. And they wouldn't have had, but I think that this sort of fight for justice, you know, him a folk hero sort of feeling.
Yes, and that seems to be the thing is everyone wanted to, that folk hero feeling, people tried to, they tried to associate him with, you know, fake characters. There was that Rambo element. There was that, oh, this guy, he knows how the LAPD work. He's, you know, he's in the military or at least has military training. You know, there's no, I mean, days before, let me phrase that, the day he ended up being captured. But hours before, Jeremy and I were talking. I'm like, this guy, there's no way this guy lit his own truck on fire in order to get people. Like, if this guy lit his truck on fire to draw the police in, he was either going to be leading him into a trap, which already seems way too movie-like, or he had another car and he's hours away and just set this thing to blow up, you know, 2 hours, 3 hours after he leaves, draws everybody in and he's already gone, which doesn't seem as movie-like. It seems like this guy, with the weapons he had, he could have made a bomb that went off after a certain amount of time and blew the truck up. So the fact that he was there made you right off the bat go, holy shit, this guy, we thought he was gone, and he's actually where they're searching. And you go, maybe he's not as smart as I originally thought. On the other hand, he was feet from where the police actually had their headquarters or their command center. Feet from it. He was walking distance from there somehow. And I like the, they asked the police, they said he was hiding right across the street from you guys. Didn't you check that place? You were supposedly were going door to door. And they said, well, we did, but the door was locked, so we weren't going to break the door down. You're like, so your house-to-house check consists of hoping that the suspect goes, hey, come on in, I'm in here.
Hey, can we borrow some sugar, just like a cup and a half?
I mean, they're literally, the LAPD's check was, anybody in there? Well, nothing we can do here. Nobody answered. That was it.
That's thorough.
That is thorough.
And that's procedure.
So he went from, you know, he kept in my mind going from, oh, this guy's brilliant, to, oh, what an idiot. He's still in Big Bear, to, holy shit, that was pretty brilliant. But if these two people didn't go in to clean the place, they never would have found him, at least wouldn't have found him yet. That's what started the whole, you know, pick the manhunt back up. They basically started giving up and going, oh, shit, I think maybe he's in Mexico.
I wonder if he was trying to wait it out. That would have been interesting.
I think he was trying to wait it out. And then the people walked in on him. That's how he ended up. That's how the whole thing the two homeowners, they first made it sound like they were two random housekeepers that were coming in to clean the place, but it was two homeowners who rent out this cabin, and they weren't staying there. They went in to clean up and I guess get it ready for another rental, and they walked in and he was there holding a gun and said to them, "Hey, relax, stay quiet, stay calm," and the woman took off. And he got up and tracked, you know, and I don't know how he subdued her, but got them both, tied them both up. But according to them, said, I have no beef with you. I'm not going to hurt you. You're not who my war is against. And tied them up and then took their car to go do some other stuff because they're looking for his car. He ended up crashing that car. So he ran out with a gun to go carjack somebody and get another vehicle. So he, as he's taking their car and he's gone, one of the two hostages escapes.
How the heck does a guy with his training not know how to tie a knot?
Well, I don't think they said she was. I don't know. That's a good question. She ended up hopping to her cell phone somehow and able to call 911, which you would think would have made them just say, "Why don't you walk out your door and get the cops right across the street?"
That sounds like a good idea.
But she called 911, so the cops start showing up. As he crashes his car, he carjacks somebody. And according to this guy, a 60-something-year-old man, he sees Dorner jump out of nowhere with a shotgun pointed at him. And I think a shotgun or a rifle, I forget which one. But with either way, they're both going to hurt. So he points it at him. The guy stops. He says, "Again, I have no beef with you. Take your dog and start walking up the road." So also ties into that whole folklore-y kind of thing where you're going, he's not looking to kill innocent people. Once again, in order to say that sentence, you have to ignore the fact that he already killed the daughter of a policeman to start this whole thing. So he did, and her fiance. So he has killed innocent people. And that's where his break in reality seems to be, is he convinced himself killing anybody in this social circle of people he feels wronged him is good. Yet he didn't hurt the people he carjacked or that he, you know, took as hostage. But the police then showed up when he carjacked. And so he took the truck, went in, ended up going back to the cabin. And then there was the shootout. And that's how he ended up getting caught.
I was interested by how they had all the press back off. That was really curious. I mean, I guess I understand their reasons, blah, 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 blah. But that also added more to this big conspiracy theory level of, hey, let's clear the press, clear the cameras.
Yeah.
Well, what's going on there?
Well, and here's the other thing is, was there any doubt in your mind that he was not going to be taken alive? Now, forget the fact that he probably didn't want to be taken alive or said he wasn't going to be. But did you think...
Not for a second. He was not coming in on his own two feet.
The only way you could avoid that guy, the only way that guy could have come out alive, the only way I could even see it possible is if he makes a big public spectacle about coming out with his hands up in front of a bunch of press so they would have to see them shoot this guy.
Which is why the press... I mean, think about the last time they got rid of the press was Occupy. Last time I remember them saying press back away was every time they broke up an Occupy Wall Street protest.
Yeah.
So, you know, what's going on there? You're twisting ankles and maybe throwing a couple of blows?
I mean, I think everybody pretty much expected. I didn't know if I saw a fire, but as soon as I heard there was a fire, whose mind didn't go to Waco and go, oh, you guys are just waiting around the perimeter, but yet somehow there's a fire. And the cops originally said, we didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning. But they eventually came with, well, maybe there's audio of them saying, are you ready to send in the burner? Which they, again, say isn't supposed to necessarily start a fire. But now they're like, well, maybe we started the fire, but not on purpose. Yet nobody at all thought that he was going to be getting out alive.
How did these kerosene-soaked rags end up inside this house? We don't know. It was just weird.
That is bizarre. But, I mean, really, you saw it coming. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about whether or not before he died, Dorner actually accomplished his mission. When we come back, we'll talk about that and whether he actually accomplished his mission. This is the Ken August Show live at Skid Row Studios.
Real radio on the internet.
Tune in to Oral Stimulation. Wednesdays, 9 p.m. Pacific. SkidRowStudios.com.
One and one, we're having some fun in the bed. All day and all of the night.
Oh, hello. This is Linda King, and I'm reading from my new book, Loving and Hating Charles Bukowski. This book should have been out about 30 years ago, but it's finally out, so I'm going to read you one poem right now, and it's called, it's in the book, and it's called Love for Mad Poet. Bukowski, what woman could love you as I do? I have passed the test of true love. I loved you with a 44-inch waist. 36 inches makes me love you more, but I didn't complain. You were drinking a dozen beers a night, and often many more. I loved you. I loved you even after you lost your pants at my sister's party for all the doctors and nurses, and you kissed that homosexual goodnight. And you told my stepfather I was not only a good dancer, but good on springs. I loved you dead drunk, reading poetry when each line came out like a slow motion movie. I hid under my wig so you wouldn't, or I wouldn't be embarrassed. Bukowski, damn you, I loved you after I caught you with that woman. You looked so shocked and did jump out screaming I was the woman you loved. But after she ran down the street, you told me you used my kissing style on her and she got so hot. I slapped your face and walked out for that, but still I loved you after you sobered up and called 47 times. Bukowski, I even loved you after you told all those people at that other party about our bloody fuck and made oral love to the candle flame. I told them we'd call the kid the bloody curse, but still I was embarrassed. And when my mother came to town, you came over dead drunk after a poetry reading saying, let her see me at my worst. And she thought she had already seen you at your worst. You wore that old coat you probably hadn't put on since World War I, and even I was shocked. When you thought my mother's sister and kids were gone, you stripped nude, and they all came back, and my mother saw your bare legs hanging out of the bed, preached to my sisters for 2 hours about the Ten Commandments. I threw you out that night, but took you back in the morning. You told me after all that I didn't deserve you, and I said, good God, no woman deserves him. But still, I loved you. I loved you after you called from Michigan, accusing me of screwing a blind priest when the blind man and the priest were two different people. It has to be love, Bukowski. It just has to be. And I'm not even mentioning the time the police come, the time I broke your windows, the time you peed on my feet, the times you brought the head back. I just know no woman could love you like I do. And I ought to mention that I have been crazy.
You can find Linda King's new book, Loving and Hating Charles Bukowski, at kisskillpress.com. That's kisskillpress.com.
Jelly Belly Candy Company is the foremost creator and supplier of gourmet jelly beans. Jelly Belly makes over 100 kinds of candies. The confections brand features everything from creamy chocolates to sour gummy worms to scrumptious candy corn, a treat made by Jelly Belly for over 100 years. So if you're like me and are shaped happily like a Jelly Belly, the Jelly Belly Candy Company is for you.
Hey, we are Awkward Conversations. Check us out on SkidRowStudios.com live every Saturday from noon to 1 Pacific Standard Time.
And you can call in 1-800-893-9562.
It's about to get awkward up in here.
Like that time that your dad confronted you.
Oh, yeah. I said, Daddy, I don't like that very much. He said, do it.
Sad news. Nora Ephron died this week. It was the first thing she's done in a while that wasn't funny. And Katie Holmes is finally finishing her 5-year search for a good divorce lawyer.
She and I can finally go out in public.
It was like he studied for the part of you're a heterosexual in love and then went out and completely played it wrong. That's interesting because I was going to say that marriage was less believable than Katie Holmes and Batman. But that's... the weekly wrap-up every Sunday, 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific time at SkidRowStudios.com. Welcome back to the Ken August Show. We are live at Skid Row Studios.
Real radio on the internet.
That is fantastic. I just like to do that, make sure you're still with us. So we were talking about Christopher Dorner and that crazy manhunt. And, you know, I'm curious whether you think, did he accomplish his mission before he burned to death? The cops, in multiple occasions, first of all, we already talked about the reputation of the LAPD. So he put that out there. And that was already out there. But, I mean, he put that out there with a specific example. And a lot of people thought, you know, he went back in his manifesto back to, he referred to the Rodney King days and says everybody that was involved in that whole mess has basically been promoted at this point in time.
I think that if we're using the George Bush definition, when he can put up his mission accomplished banner and we're good to go, because he got about 35% of the way through his mission, I would say. And here's the big one is I knew that they didn't get anything and that was why there were riots. I had no idea that the Rodney King police officers were higher ups. Now, I guess it's logically you would think that over time you get promotions, but it wasn't in my consciousness. So there's a big one.
That's yeah, he did put it in people's consciousness, or at least he put it back in their consciousness. Something else he did was they reopened. They said before he, you know, died, they said they were reopening the case that got him fired from the police department in the first place. What makes me laugh about that is they say they're reopening it while they have a manhunt going on for him, but they don't want to seem like they're referring to him at that point as a domestic terrorist. So what they want to do is they don't want to sound like they are giving in to terrorist demands, yet they want to say that, hey, we're reopening the case to show you that, you know, we are an open department. We're not hiding anything. But we're not doing it because of anything Christopher Dorner did. You're like, well, of course you are. Like, you would not have reopened this case if this wasn't in the news, and it's only in the news because there's a guy killing cops at this point in time. So trying to walk a fine line, which really isn't a fine line. It is a non-existent line to pretend that is not why you're doing it. But did he expose the cops?
I'd say to an extent. He brought some more because I think that there's nothing we didn't know about the LAPD, and things have got, let's first say the LAPD has improved. It's not hard to improve from where they began, but the LAPD has definitively improved. But I think he did remind people, and in particular, let's not talk about the people who were already really in the consciousness of LAPD makes mistakes, but let's go with the middle class collection of Los Angeles who don't usually deal with the LAPD on a daily basis, who haven't been focused so much on racial tensions and things like that. I think that he reignited that curiosity, reignited that discussion.
Well, one thing that he did expose, and this wasn't on purpose because it didn't happen until he started doing what he was doing, was the Keystone Cop-like reaction that the police had. I understand being nervous. I understand that you are in a very high-pressure job, especially when you are currently aware that there's somebody trying to kill you or your colleagues. So I am by no means minimizing how difficult that would be. I have already on numerous occasions have said how bad of a soldier and for same reasons, police officer I would be. However, a third person came forward this week after he was shot by LAPD officers because they suspected he was Christopher Dorner. Now, none of these people of the three were even black males. One guy, this guy was a white male, a skinny white male, as opposed to a 270-pound black man.
Very similar.
Yeah, very, very similar. The previous two were two Mexican women, I believe, who were delivering newspapers and were driving a car that was similar. Not even, forget the fact that it didn't have a large black man in the car and that it didn't have the same license plate, which you would think they could figure out as the cops. But it wasn't even the exact same car. Open fire, 50 rounds.
Oh, yeah.
Two women in it. Now, here's my question.
Very dangerous.
If you don't know who's in the car, how do you not know? Like, would you not assume that maybe there's, you know, they couldn't have known the two women. Well, let me phrase that. You assume they didn't know the two women were in the car, because if they did, they would have to say, all right, maybe they're hostages. And if even if they were, why would they have opened fire?
You assume that they didn't believe that Christopher Dorner is a master of disguise. Maybe he could make himself look like two old Mexican ladies. We don't know. You don't know how good he is.
He's the bad guy at the end of Scooby-Doo. As long as you pull the mask off, it doesn't really, it just everything else falls into place.
Absolutely. I mean, he could have made himself up to be a 98-pound white man. That's possible. That's totally... He might be that good. He might be the Mission Impossible of real life.
That is apparently what the public wanted to believe, but I guess the police are the ones that fell for it, because 50 rounds, dude. Here's the thing is, they didn't even say... There was no come
up... Don't you have to reload like 8 times to get 50 rounds?
I don't know.
How big are their clips?
I don't know. I don't... That's a good question. I don't know. I would assume
pop,
you
pop,
would...
Pop, pop, pop. Click, click, click. Shit, hold on.
Stay there.
Is he still a Mexican lady? Let's hold on. All right.
Stay there. We're almost done firing. Now, here's the other thing. That many rounds, they didn't kill anybody. And thank God for that. But they didn't kill anybody. They didn't even... One person was shot twice. She's expected to make a full recovery.
They killed her on that photograph, though, right?
What do you do? Like... If they would have killed both of them, first of all, and I don't, this is...
They would have gotten nothing. They would have gotten zero. They would have been suspended for a month with pay, or no, without pay, but then their union would have covered it. And then they would have been cleared later for, it was a reasonable reaction.
What about the complete speculation that I'm throwing out, that you're talking about two cops who would say, oh shit, we just killed two innocent people for no reason. Maybe we should throw a bag of drugs in the trunk.
Sure, it's not impossible. It's been done before.
That is 100% speculation. There is no reason to assume that just because they are nervous or inept that they are also evil. That is a complete made-up speculation. I'm not claiming they would do that. But if you're going to open fire on two people without even getting on your loudspeaker and say, come out with your hands up, I assume that they didn't say that and the two women were like, no, fuck it, let's take our chances.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they come up, light them up. They go, hey, are you Christopher Dorner? Who are these guys back here? Why is every old person Jewish? Everyone's a Jewish old person to me today.
The Mexican Jews, the rarely seen Mexican Jewish woman.
There's quite a few.
Dude, the other woman got shot in the hand. They just hit her in the hand once.
Oh, yeah, no, they're cracks.
50 rounds, dude. Nothing. And now I understand, again, you think that there is a very well-trained individual who is trying to kill you. But at the very least, keep your distance and call for backup if you're that scared. But if every time you're under a huge pressure situation, you just open fire on anyone with a similar car.
No, I mean, it's unacceptable by far.
I mean, you would think the cops have, getting into police work, you would probably be aware that there's dangerous situations that could follow. So if you're not very good in stressful situations, this may not be your job.
Well... You do get to carry a firearm, so it makes all the stress go away. What is that, a shadow? Is that Christopher Dorner? I have no idea. Oh, he's 98 pounds, and he's very... There's reflection off of his skin. I think he's... Whatever.
Pop, fire!
Pop, yeah. Pop.
Yeah, it's like the South Park episode.
I feel better now.
Just scream he's coming right for us, and then open fire. Yeah, as long as you do that.
Gun's a security blanket.
Now, here's another question. Did the... police or the police department or whoever puts out the offer for the reward, did they scam the public? They offered $1 million reward for anybody giving information that would lead to the capture and conviction of Christopher Dorner. And if you notice the end of that sentence, the capture and conviction. And as we stated earlier in the show, I don't think there's too many people that really thought Dorner was going to come out of that.
Oh,
alive.
Is that how they're trying to get by it? Is they're saying that he's dead, so there's
no conviction.
Oh, that's so sketchy.
That's what I'm saying.
Even Vegas wouldn't do that to you.
Two people, well, Vegas may do that to me, but two people were held hostage, escaped, called the cops. The cops show up, and on their way there, they find the people. They find the guy and they capture him and they corner him and then they eventually kill him and they go, well, we did not convict him.
No, they need to pay. That's ridiculous.
I mean, that is, what is a bigger break of public trust than, well, come on, close enough.
Guys, you didn't stop us from burning him alive / making him shoot himself in the head. So you don't get the money that you did to help us do the thing that we needed to do. But, you know, here's a badge. Here's a little fake. It's a little plastic badge. Give it to your kids. They'll have fun playing with that.
Yes, and you get a free Subway sandwich. If you buy one, you get one free.
Oh, they're giving out BOGO cards?
They're giving out those as well, yes.
They're like, you know, we don't have $1 million, but here's a Target gift card. It was $35. Now it's $27. We had to buy some duct tape from it, but you know, enjoy.
That's tough. First of all, do you think that's purpose? Is that purposely done? Because
probably.
I mean, forget the fact that there's so many reasons why you'd want this guy dead if you're a cop in the first place. Let's just go with all the clean cops who are most of them. You go with all the clean cops and you say, okay, they were at the funeral. The news was at the funeral for one of the policemen who was killed by Dorner. And they did an interview with one of the policemen afterwards talking about, are you going to find this guy? And he didn't say we're going to find him. He said, we're going to find him and we're going to bury him. That is what the guy said. Now,
he meant bury him in kisses.
I can't blame the guy. If somebody killed one of my buddies, I too would want this guy dead. And especially if he's declaring war on somebody like that. But still,
I can blame the guy.
You're on TV saying we're going to bury him.
You're a police officer. I can blame the guy entirely. That is not your, it's not your job description. It's not your right. It's none of those things. Your job and your right is to enforce the law. And the whole point of this whole thing was whether right or wrong was at least the appearance of improperly enforcing the law. And that right there, if you want to talk about, we were saying earlier about why the public started coming around to Dorner's side, mm-hmm. It's this continue between the shooting of the people who are clearly not at all a giant black dude, between someone saying, hey, we're going to find him and bury him. This, I think that there's this consistency of actions that are not the proper enforcement of the law, and that this did not do. Even though this should be making goodwill for LAPD, and it didn't accomplish that whatsoever, because even within this one story, not properly enforcing the law was a consistent theme.
Yeah. I mean, that is true. Even things he wanted to point out were pointed out in new examples. I mean, he was pointing out, hey, these people, they were wrong and they were corrupt when they fired me. And he's saying they've been wrong and corrupt often. However, once they started chasing him, they were giving all sorts of new examples of bad shit that they were doing, not necessarily purposely crooked or corrupt, like the cops shooting at the women. That's just bad.
That's just bad.
That's bad. I understand, hey, I thought this guy was going to kill me, so I panicked. But again, you're a police officer. You probably are held to a higher standard. If my mom says, hey, I panicked and opened fire, all right, you're not paid to do this for a living.
Here's the problem with that mentality, too, and the problem with that with that officer, if you're, you know, with that quote from the funeral. The just the blatant going, hey, we now suddenly have the right to kill. Police officers have the right to use lethal force when necessary. But that implies that we have the right to kill. Which now, is a very different right.
But when you have a very well-trained, just to take the other side for a second, when you have a very well-trained person, one of your own or trained with one of your own, who says, I am declaring war on you and your people and your family, are you really, how much restraint? If someone said, I am not only after you, but your mother, your wife, anybody that you are related to is fair game, would you really be looking to hold back?
I am not a sworn-in law enforcement officer.
If you were, and somebody still said, I understand you have a job, the only place that I really fault that policeman is for saying it publicly.
No, this guy should have been brought in. This guy should, there should be a trial. I don't care what you do. I don't care if you murder 5,000 babies with a hammer. There should be a trial.
Mass hammering, though.
Mass hammer murders. Yeah,
it doesn't
there
happen
should,
a lot.
There should always, the number one purpose should be to bring someone in to enact justice. And justice is not, let me get you back.
No, and no argument there. But I'm not saying that.
I understand the emotions.
Right, but I'm not saying.
The implications.
I know, and I understand that. But I'm not saying that if they are, you know, if they have him and the guy puts his hands up, this guy should have a right to just fire away anyway. But I think it's pretty safe when a guy says a safe assumption when someone says we are at, you know, I am declaring war on your department, and then picks off at least two of them, and then a daughter and fiance of, you know, of another cop. He's picking people off. You can assume that this is not going to be, that you're at war. And so even when you're at war, in theory, if somebody surrenders, you're not supposed to just shoot them. But you don't go into war going, hey, man, I'm going to capture all my people.
You're absolutely right. The use of lethal force was justified in this discussion. But the implication that my first goal is to apply lethal force before the goal of bringing this person in to face trial. That's the bad implication, where that's the goal rather than the thing we must do to prevent more loss of life.
Yeah, I can hear that. Again, I have a problem more with him saying it. I understand the feeling, but let me ask you this. You were saying, do you think there was anybody higher up? Like, let's just say everything Dorner said as far as his reasoning. Let's say his reasoning for being fired, all of that. If he's accurate on all of that, do you believe that any of the police officers that are now up top that have done corrupt shit, or any police officers that have done corrupt shit that may be implicated if they looked deeper into Dorner's claims, do you think any of them said to anybody or implied to anybody, I'd rather not see this guy come out alive?
That's a lot of speculation.
It's nothing but speculation.
That's
why you're here, speculating.
Is it plausible? Sure, it's plausible.
Well, it's more plausible than this whole story in the first place. So, yes, I mean, cops not wanting someone to air their dirty secrets and rather have him dead before
it's
your
secrets
are absolutely
plausible.
Very plausible.
Certain giant, quote-unquote, religious organizations that happen to be, you know, stationed in certain major cities and boats have been implicated in the possibility of killing off people who might spill some of their secrets, allegedly speaking. People want to protect their situation. That's plausible. The idea that it's plausible, just the idea that it's plausible, is problematic. And the idea that it's plausible is, again, why this story is gripping people so much.
This whole story is crazy. And we're going to add in, we're going to discuss some of the extra crazy that he put into the 20-page manifesto. You don't get 20 pages of manifesto unless you go off the rails a little bit. And this guy put some crazy shit in here that seems as unrelated as humanly possible to what he was about to do. So we're going to get into that, and we're going to also talk about what you would put in your manifesto before you fucking...
Sonnets about Ken August.
Yeah. that is nice. You should do that now before you go on a killing spree. if you have heard the theme song to the weekly wrap-up, that is done by Marcus Bennett, who you can now get all his music at iTunes. Marcus Bennett, B-E-N-N-E-T-T. I have seen this guy live numerous times in New York. Fantastic energy. And unlike a lot of bands, you know when you go see a band and you listen and you're like, oh, he's playing all the songs I love, then they go into their own new shit, and you're like, oh, okay, well, good time for me to go to the bathroom and get a drink. No energy drop. All this guy's music I absolutely love. So if you get a chance to get it, and I can't give you a discount because 99 cents is about as cheap as they're going to let you buy it, so... each song is less than a dollar. Go to iTunes, Marcus Bennett, B-E-N-N-E-T-T. And unless you can see him live, I would check him out right now.
For every nerdy subject you want to talk about, Star Wars, Star Trek, fucking Knight Rider, we'll do it. Wait, can we swear in these?
Do whatever you want.
Angry Dorks Podcast. It's the Angry Dorks Show. We can listen live and comment along with us. You can be part of the show. It's Mondays, every Monday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And also, you can call in. You can actually call us. You can be on the show, your beautiful voice, and roll a D20 for fun, resounding in the ears of 10,000 dorks. Is that 30, true?
He said
no,
37.
We have 700.
It's like Clint Eastwood. They're just going to say, okay, go ahead.
Clint Eastwood.
He doesn't say action.
Yeah, he says, fuck you to a chair.
David. We're like the 700
shit together, man.
Blackwood.
You're underrated everything but this. Now get your
on
shit
some
together.
Kind of Filipino drug. All right, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
You're going
Lupia
last.
Lupia have speed in it.
Up next, we've got Judy coming to the stage.
Hey, this is Dimitri from Off, and you're listening to Car Free Radio, Los Angeles Nista.
Hey, everybody, this is Sal Rodriguez.
And Chris Z of Registered Ear Offenders.
Be sure to call in live every Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time.
Or 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on
SkidRowStudios.com.
Ladies be first, ladies in a line saying me first. And keeping condoms in their purse. I'm the worst when it comes to talking dirty like a jerk. But I told you how I squirt, it all comes with the worst.
The boys love my thick ass Cuban thighs. Yep. Pretty whoish eyes.
Okay, I gotta say the Pacific.
Ah, fuck, I hate my voice. Fuck! Hate it.
Jesus Christ,
I hate this shit.
Oh, man. Do you guys like talking to me and hearing my voice? Because I would fucking hate it.
Stop right there.
Let's try it again. That's not brain, right? Yeah. Let me try it again. Please listen Pacific time. Hi, this is Vince. Listen. Fuck. Everybody's looking at me and shit. You guys are probably noticing how fat I am right now. You're like, man, how sweaty I am. Hi, this is, you're listening to the wrap-up show with Gary Jabate and John Hine on Howard 101. Hey, this is Vince. Listen to the More Music Radio Pod every Thursday night, 10 p.m. to midnight Pacific time on SkidRowStudios.com. Fuck your mama.
closed.com allows users to design apparel online for personal or professional use. You have the option of customizing t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, workwear, athletic wear, etc. The list goes on and on. They got it all. So if you want that t-shirt that says who farted, or if you're with that guy and want the t-shirt that says I'm with Stinky, go to 1-800-CLOSE.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Drew Marks, host of Bad Advice here on Skid Row Studios. Listen to us every Saturday, 2 to 3 Pacific time. If you want to call the show, call us at 800-893-9562.
The South Beach Smoke Electronic Cigarette is a revolutionary smoking device that is really simple to use. It looks, tastes, and feels like smoking a real cigarette, but it's not. You puff on it like a regular cigarette, inhaling vapor, minus the harmful tar and carcinogens. In addition to being a better product than a regular cigarette, it's also an easy way to ease your way back from smoking. So if you're looking to quit and baby step your way there, go to southbeachsmoke.com. The Discovery Channel store reaches beyond the television screen to bring the wonder and mystery of the world to you. The Discovery Channel has scoured the globe to provide you with access to the most informative, interactive, and engaging products available. So explore the world and entertain your brain Discovery style. Check out the Discovery Channel store, the closest one near you. Welcome back to the Ken August Show, live at Skid Row Studios.
Real radio on the internet.
We are talking about the Christopher Dorner Manifesto, which 20 pages.
So, oh, it's gripping.
Oh, my. Well, it was gripping when he dealt with what got him fired and why he went on this crazy manhunt that he felt he needed to go on. Despite the lack of logic, there was at least something you can follow. But then he got a little crazy, a different kind of crazy, not a violent crazy. He got a little teenage girl kind of crazy and started putting stuff in there. Now, if you're going to leave a piece of paper, that's going to be the last thing that you're going to say to people. They can't talk to you anymore. They can't ask you any more questions. I would think you'd be very careful as to what you say. However, he, in addition to saying why he feels he needs to kill a whole bunch of people, he did go on to say important things like, it's kind of sad I won't be around to view and enjoy The Hangover 3. What an awesome trilogy. Todd Phillips don't make any more Hangovers after the third. It takes away from the originality of its foundation. So is that, you know, is that nice? That's nice. I mean, Todd Phillips got a mention in a manifesto.
I don't have any mentions of manifestos.
You will.
I need to make it in this town.
I will put you in my manifesto.
Perfect.
And I will probably have one. Here's another one. Hey, I love your new bangs, Mrs. Obama. That's nice.
They're good bangs. Let's be clear.
They are good bangs. But so this guy sitting down to write his manifesto, sitting down going, you know what? I have to write this to explain why I'm going to be one of the biggest villains in the world over the next short period of time, I should probably mention Mrs. Obama's bangs.
It's like he had a contract for 20 pages. He's like, shit, I'm only at 16 and a half. What else can I put in here? Mrs. Obama, those are nice bangs and Hangover 3. I really like, let's see, Louis C.K. and Dennis Miller and Chris Rock. Those are great fellas.
Louis C.K. got a mention in here, actually. He did. Louis C.K. got a mention somewhere in here.
It was a small byline, though.
Wanda Sykes, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Jerry Seinfeld. Pure geniuses, they were called. Charlie Sheen, quote, effing awesome. I like a guy who puts out a 20-page manifesto claiming why he's killing people, but doesn't want to curse. So he puts in effing awesome. Anthony Bourdain is, quote, a renaissance man, and Bill Cosby is a reasonable man. Now, why is somebody who's just, quote, a reasonable man, in your opinion, how does he even make a manifesto?
That's a really interesting. Bill Cosby, he's, he's measured.
Yeah, like, why is that necessary to put in there? Dave Brubeck's Take Five is the greatest piece of music ever, period. Do not argue with the man.
No, Chemical Brothers, Escape Velocity. Come on.
Are you serious with that?
At least by comparison.
I will not read your musical chapter of your manifesto.
Oh, it'll be great.
I will not read the musical section. He did like Jay-Z, Eric Clapton, Bob Marley, Norah Jones, and other musical prodigies. And you know what? He had a wide range.
I feel like he sounds like a listener to the Joe Rogan podcast.
Oh, well, maybe. Maybe. Christopher Waltz, he liked Christoph Waltz, sorry. He said Christopher, but it's Christoph Waltz. He liked him in Inglourious Basterds, and he said he was sold after he saw him in Django Unchained. So if Christoph Waltz was looking, forget the awards he's winning.
Well, let's be clear. Of course, Donner loved Django Unchained. It was a movie about killing white people.
That may be true.
Oppressors.
He said Christoph Waltz is showing glimpses of being like Daniel Day-Lewis and Morgan Freeman. Nice.
I know, Morgan Freeman is really, really great, but he's not great at being like disappearing into roles. Morgan Freeman plays, he's a variation on a theme.
He's just a different Morgan Freeman?
Yeah. Like today we have badass Morgan Freeman. Today we have introspective Morgan Freeman. Today we have Nelson Mandela as Morgan Freeman.
The characters are being played by Morgan Freeman playing that character.
Yeah.
I like that. That is very nice. It's very Morgan Freeman-esque. If I could hire Morgan Freeman to narrate my dreams, that would be fantastic. It would be calming. It would be no nightmares.
I wouldn't want him in my dreams because they're already weird enough.
I don't want him in them. I don't want Morgan Freeman dancing around. I just want him narrating so everything seems calm and explainable. That would work for me. I buy Morgan Freeman as God. I buy it.
Okay, I can see that.
I totally buy it. I'm still buying it. I'm not fully convinced he's not.
Wicked sense of humor.
You have never seen Morgan Freeman and God in the same place.
That's true. I haven't.
That is quite true. He also, by the way, he finished off with, damn, gonna miss Shark Week.
But that's real.
That is.
But why is he caring about it? They're just playing the same. They only put out one new video each year. It's still the same Shark Week.
Well, that is true. There's not enough, fortunately, shark deaths to come up with all new shows every year. What would you put in your manifesto?
Probably advice on how to make salmon properly, because I'm pretty good at making salmon. I think I'd give a shout out to the UFC for giving me some great fights. One to Square Enix for inventing the Final Fantasy trilogy. Give one of them. The Beastie Boys, because I really enjoyed Paul's Boutique, an underrated album, despite the fact. Critical success, financial failure. I think I'd hit those spots.
Really? So there's nothing you would put in that you're going to leave in your favorite dishes and or some recipes. You're not going to leave in, hey, remember me by this, or mankind should know this.
Mankind should know that I have the world's greatest dick jokes.
Are you going to write any down, or are you just going to declare you have great dick jokes?
I'll just put links to all my YouTube clips. guys, can you get my view count up? I'm pretty low right now.
That is a lot better than, hey, just so you people know, all the world's greatest dick jokes are dying with me.
Follow me on Twitter at MMA Comic, please. I'll be dead, but just I need more followers. Emotions.
A little late for the follow me on Twitter, but but I do like the idea. I definitely do like the idea. Coming up, I'm going to want to talk about the Pope. Have you heard there's a rumor the Pope is stepping down slowly?
Oh my gosh, really?
Well, you gotta walk slowly when you're the Pope. You're wearing a big shiny gown and a hat.
He's so stately.
I'm looking forward to talking about this, because there's you know, nobody seems to be asking the question, why is he really stepping down? He says he's stepping down because he's 85 and he's old and he's unhealthy, which probably is all very accurate.
No, he got an invite to go play on the World Poker Tour.
Oh, that would be nice. I thought he was already in negotiations for a daytime talk show, Dr. Pontiff.
Well, he's also selling his new line of robes to Victoria's Secret.
We will be back and talk about that right after this.